You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello, welcome, beautiful sacred souls, Wisdom of the Ancients tribe. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here in the Wisdom Orb, in the collective energy, and upgrading our collective consciousness simply by being here. This is another wonderful show we have planned for you today. I'm Ian Shelley. You're here in the Wisdom Orb, and we're all weaving the web of light together. We're all activating points of light on the divine consciousness grid, the golden grid of grace, the infinity web. Whatever you choose to call it, however you choose to feel into it, we are here together, and that's what's important. We are amplifying and energizing and magnifying the web of light that we're all part of. So let us invoke the ancient ones right now. Let us invoke those spoken and unspoken. Let us invoke the beautiful, divine, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service to support us today and open our hearts to the message that is coming through. We are here for a reason. We are here to listen to our next guest, who is a divine instrument. So let me introduce our next guest to you. Sarah Jane Farrell is fondly known as the Trust Doctor. She is a love warrior who helps people and animals to trust and love themselves again, to reclaim the confidence, to own their worth, and know that they are enough, no matter what anyone else says, including their own saboteur voices. They learn to identify their blind spots, their fear-based self-sabotaging patterns, and unconscious commitments that keep them feeling stuck, exhausted, and depressed, so that they can transform their old victim stories and trauma into truth and triumph. Because when you rewire your nervous system and stop the fight, flight, or freeze by creating your own safety you never had as a child, you have a strong mind of your own to live a fulfilled, deeply happy, and purpose-driven life. Her medicine is part ancient intuitive wisdom, part psychotherapy. She has a solid background in alternative healing modalities, traditional Chinese medicine, pragmatic equine psychology, and body-mind medicine, as well as nutritional-based science, and knows what works and what doesn't work, coupled with an intuitive gift to be able to see what others cannot. And she can talk to rhinoceroses. Did you know that? She can talk to rhinos and other animals. It's true. She gets hired by the National Parks Board in South Africa to communicate with huge, 5,000-pound animals. I'm excited to have Sarah Jane back on the show. Welcome, Sarah Jane. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Ian. Thank you so much. What we can learn from those beautiful ancient wisdom of the elephants and the rhinos never cease to amaze me. So yeah. It's beautiful to be back, and I'm really honored to be here.
Absolutely. And today Sarah's going to be talking about lighter, ending the weight of judgment. Although, I was going to ask, we could probably call you the elephant whisperer or the rhino whisperer. And if you haven't heard it anywhere else, you've heard it here first. Sarah Jane Farrell, the Rhino Whisperer. Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about why emotional viruses are so dangerous and the benefit of this lighter technology that Sarah is going to be sharing with us. And sometimes why so many of us waking up feel numb, right? We feel numb. We feel maybe that we are not connected. We don't feel that awareness, and we think maybe we should. We feel limbo and maybe even dead inside. So Sarah Jane is going to be sharing all about that. And of course, there's going to be live questions, and you can raise your hand if you're on the phone by pressing star two, S-T-A-R. I had someone the other day saying, start, what's star two? It's star, the asterisk, star two. You can ask, what is my primary energetic addiction? What is my primary energetic addiction? That'll probably make sense, more sense to you in a few moments. So if you're on the webinar page, you'll put your question in there along with your name, and we'll get to as many as we can. So we'll have a good Q&A session today. And then Sarah Jane is going to take everyone through a guided heart and body sensing meditation. So that'll be something that'll be closer to the end, as always. So wonderful, wonderful show. Sarah Jane, lovely to have you here. Thank you for bringing your amazing energy and being here in front of the wisdom community.
It's always such a wonderful wonderful place to be in process and to grow and evolve with your tribe. You have such an amazing group of people here, and yeah. I always say it, you know, we can go so much further together than we can apart. So I'm just honored and humbled to be able to share what I know, what the animals have taught me. So yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, and the Wisdom Tribe is it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, I blitz out every time I do these shows because everyone is gathering together. The energy is amplified, magnified. The intentions are amplified, magnified. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful community. So thank you all. Namaste to everyone. Pranam to you for being here. And for those of you who feel I have a little bit of an accent, this is a good opportunity for me to share with you. I do have a bit of an accent, although I don't think I do. And of course, Sarah Jane has a bit of an accent. And so we're both from South Africa originally. And so many of you know that about me. In fact, we've got many, many South African listeners, Sarah Jane. People call in from South Africa, ask their questions, work with speakers, buy products, you know, just go deeper with a speaker. So we've got people from all over the world. And so every time I go back to South Africa, everyone accuses me of having an American accent, and everyone here thinks I have a South African accent. And I don't think I've got an accent at all. But anyway, well, we're not here to talk about me and my accent. But anyway, so that's some people might be thinking, where they're from? We're both originally from South Africa. But of course, we're you know, led by the divine to end up wherever we're destined to end up. And so, Sarah Jane, let's start this by talking about lighter. So the show topic is lighter. And I'd love for you to put that in context, but also while you're doing that, share what we mentioned in the beginning, why so many people are feeling maybe numb or numbed out, maybe dense, right? Dense energetically, maybe carrying more weight physically and energetically, all the while feeling that we're on this beautiful awakening process and maybe questioning, why are we feeling this way? So could you share with us why so many of us or so many people are feeling this way despite being on the spiritual path?
Yeah, I mean, it was the motivation and the sort of divine guidance that sort of led me to create the topic and the conversation that we're sharing tonight, because I certainly am right there in the trenches with so many of my clients and so many light workers that are sort of weaving this web that has no master right now. And in hearing it all the time, it was something that I've really been asking again, the elephants and the rhinos and the denser, heavier beings on the earth that are actually holding these energetic grid lines with the whales, you know, with the counterparts in the oceans, and have done so for so many years, in fact, for millennia, in that they all say the same thing, that we need to lighten up, we need to not take ourselves so seriously, and yet also be physically embodied, you know, to actually not disown the vehicle that carries us through this beautiful life that we call human being. And certainly in the last, I would say probably the last 9 months, amplification on this was that our bodies, our physical bodies, because we are a body and a being, we're these light bodies that chose to incarnate into physical form to create and make meaning and use our beautiful resources and our minds to create something beautiful as our living legacy in this earth plane. And I keep coming back to this place of that we are entering this void of everything that we think we know, including our own identity, is entering this void, this sort of zero point field that we talk of in quantum physics, but it doesn't feel real. I can only kind of give an example of this, of, you know, we speak of things like climate change as a place that isn't calling to the urgency of the fact that it's not changing, it's collapsing. And in the same way, our bodies are experiencing this die-off of everything that we know to be in this illusion of, or insanity, if you want to call it that, that we aren't what we used to be. Our cellular structure is changing, and there is this luminal space where everything that was is no longer. And our bodies are having a really, really hard time of trying to catch up with the light, right? Because we are already ascended. And this is coming through stronger and stronger as we sort of align ourselves to the new 5D and claim this way of being empowered. It has to come from the body. So anyone that's out there thinking, like so many of us are right now, of why do I feel nothing, or why do I feel dead inside, please don't make yourself wrong. You know, this is a place where we are actually creating the new earth. We're creating this new energetic grid where we have to be physically embodied, and we haven't been. You know, we keep being addicted. We keep hooking into these energetic programs that have been part of the old outdated 3D. And we're being called to create this new space beyond this construct of time and free ourselves from these heavy, outdated 3D programs that have kept us in this place of feeling dense. So anyone that's kind of thinking, well, I do feel heavy and my life isn't great right now, stay with us, because hopefully by the end of our time together today, you're going to feel lighter and you're going to be able to really tap into that heart energy. You know, I always get into that place of joy when I'm feeling that heaviness of knowing the heart's the first brain that develops in utero. Not the brain in our head, but the heart brain. And we have lost our way. We're living in that 3D of thinking that we have to fix and solve and create things from our brain rather than asking our brain and our head to work for our body. So if any of you have heard me on talking to Ian in the last program, last time we met on the summit, this is neuroplasty. This is the ability to be able to use our brain in a good way, not in the negativity bias, to go back into knowing that we are our own healers. We are our own medicine. And we need to be able to engage in our thinking mind, in our brain, to employ the ego, so to speak, to support our body to be fully human. It's almost like we have to repeople ourselves to remember who we are. And I know this is big, but, you know, if we aren't following or allowing our body's sensations and our emotions to be fully felt, this is the soma, you know, that we're made of flesh and bones. And if we're not expressing through the body, if we're not in full awareness of our behaviors, like the animals teach us so well to be, if we don't have good flow with our movements and our intentions and our connections, and our interactions to others in the world around us, then we can't be using our brain to our fullest potential, and then we feel numb and heavy. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
So what you're talking about, Sarah Jane, you're talking about energetically and also physically in the 3D realm, and what you're talking about sounds like there is it's not a marriage, but it's like the two are interwoven, and you cannot extract one from the other. The two are so entwined with each other, and it's so critical to, you know, what I think I'm hearing is to really honor both the energetics as well as the physical.
Absolutely, because when our body isn't connected, that our brain suffers because of the disconnection, and that usually means that we're living in that sort of lower vibrational frequency of survival stress, all those fight and flight and freeze patterns that get stuck in our system. So if we're going to heal, if we're going to be the light weavers, if we're going to create a sustainable planet, we have to find a new way to heal the brain, which means we have to work with the body and all its connections with the being. You know, it's plain and simple that the body heals and the brain follows. So yeah, I mean, it's not new. This is the ancient wisdom of why I love what you stand mm-hmm. for, Ian. Because it is. It's as old as the first man and the first woman that ever walked on the planet. And we've lost our connection with nature. We've lost our connection with our heart space. Mm. You know, and I love the analogy of looking back to nature, because nature's always been my medicine. The animals have saved me from my mind mess millions of times over. And if you just think about a seed having, you know, a hard shell and it has four components and it needs the fire sometimes to break it open, or the water. Our heart has four chambers. And yet there's this part of the brain, the heart, that protects it. It's kind of in this sheath that protects it from being broken. And yet we need our heart to be broken wide open right now. If we're going to sort of create our own personal prescription for a lighter life. So it's beautiful to bring it back to the nature of all things, that we as part of nature need to learn how to, or remember, you know, how to be human. And that requires lightening up, getting back into the body. You know, it's an integrative approach that I always use, that it's bottom up, but it's also top down. Because, yeah, as you say, there is that interconnection where we have to use that flow of intentions and connections and interactions as part of something bigger, the holism of everything that requires, you know, living well so we can die well.
Mm.
And that's something else that doesn't have people lining up to learn how to be with death, or to learn how to be in a transitional period. We don't know what to do with that. And you know, this is why I love that we get to have these conversations, to give people that possibility that there is something greater than this. If we could just allow ourselves to be safely embodied,
yeah,
we need to be in our bodies if we're going to create.
Mm. And you mentioned a lighter life. And of course, we've all heard the term, you know, lighten up, you know, being, you know, we throw that around,
yeah,
you know, usually mm-hmm. it's because someone is maybe angry or something like that, and it's a way that society says to, you know, control your emotions in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, lighten up. So, but nonetheless, I wanted to ask you about living lighter, and how do we, you know, how would you prescribe or suggest that we do live lighter, and what does living lighter really mean for those of us who are on the, you know, path of awakening or have already experienced awakening?
Mm. Well, you said so many great things there, and I think one of the biggest ones is that in the terminology that we use, that we don't realize what we're spelling into being in the physical is an energetic addiction to not being light, to thinking, gosh, I'm so heavy, or to dismiss somebody when they're actually feeling into something that really matters and moves them, that we aren't able to hold that space for the discomfort that we feel because we're out of congruence. And I think that's that sort of natural movement between attuning with presence, which is being aware of awareness, and then meeting our sort of deeply embedded conditioning, which is all the thoughts and feelings and judgments and separations and conclusions that we have about why we can't, when things are pretty heavy on this planet right now. So, you know, I think it's very personal to everybody in how we choose to lighten up our meaning making of this. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, looking and being able to sort of live with the awareness of being very honest with ourselves, to being willing to be vulnerable, which is terrifying most of the time. And to really look at and identify and call out where we are addicted, you know, to a lot of the things that are causing us great suffering. Which is pulling our psychic vibration down, because we're not feeling safe. So I think that that's really the key of freedom, actually, is to just slow down right now, even if you're listening to this conversation and your mind is probably going to a million different places and reasons and justifications why we can't free ourselves, liberate ourselves, lighten our load, whether that's energetic or physically, is to just slow down. You know, we're addicted to speed. And I think this is one of the new diseases that we're creating, is this need for instant gratification. You know, one of the things I find catch myself in often is saying, you know, I don't have enough time. I don't know. How could it be March already? And then we go, I find myself going into the judgment of, well, I should be further along. Or, you know, it's this addiction again to where we really need to interrupt the behaviors and the habits and these energetic attachments that we are in, where we're numbing ourselves down, you know, in the trance of food or instant gratification or, you know, too many glasses of wine or screen time. That dopamine rush is what's hooking us. And it's creating, you know, technology in itself. It can be used just as everything in a good way to support and grow and evolve and evolve us. Or it can hook us back into these heavy, denser vibrations of comparing. You know, you just have to go onto social media, you know, and I certainly find myself addicted to looking at Facebook feed from time to time. But I think that's what we have to look at now, is we're living in a time where everything is so fast. And I think Viktor Frankl, one of my favorite authors of all time and such a great mentor, says that within the stimulus and the response, there's a space, and in that space is our power and our freedom. And that's where we're missing so much in living well.
Where
we feel like we can't access our true nature. We can't be heart-led because we're not willing to feel where our attention is calling us. Inside of us, it's an internal process that's very uncomfortable, and we have to interrupt that addictive behavior if we're going to change things.
You know, that reminded me of when you mentioned Viktor Frankl, and then the pause in the space. That reminded me of breathing, right? So in certain yoga practices or pranayama, there's breathwork practices, and I know that you've spoken about breath work, and you actually do a lot of breath work yourself. So let's weave breath work into this conversation in the context of helping us to slow down, or however you want to weave it into the conversation.
And I love it, and that's part of why I think that in an integrative approach, this is like we're calling on big commitments of ourselves in that honesty and that truth telling that's required of us right now, if we are to make a beautiful life for ourselves, is that we have to learn to breathe again, because we aren't breathing in life from all the things we've inherited from our ancestral cultural mores and morality. We stop breathing because, you know, even as a child, I remember, you know, being frightened. You know, I remember my dad walking into a room and he'd go, "What are you doing?" And you'd jump and you'd hold your breath.
Yeah.
And so many people relate to that even though you haven't done anything wrong, there's this funny little part of the brain called the sphenobasilar joint. And I just weave a little science into this. So what literally happens when you're in shock and trauma systems, and this could be as simple as that as a child. You know, when we talk about trauma, it's not in the big events. It's often in the daily, toxic, normal, unpredictable things just like that, where you feel like you have been wronged or you've done something wrong, and then you translate that as a child into "I am wrong." Is that sphenobasilar joint gets locked up or down, mostly with my rugby players and high contact sports clients, that gets locked down. But what it does is it impacts the ability for your diaphragm to breathe in fully or to breathe out fully. And what that does is there's a knockdown effect from the from the pineal gland all the way down. So it disrupts the hormones, it disrupts your lymphatic drainage, your lymphatic drainage in your brain. Everything gets affected by that. So what is the most freest thing that we can do in the world? And I think this is weird too, because it brings in a lot of the money things that I deal with people too, is what if breath, what if making money, for example, so all the lack and scarcity and poverty programs come back to this thing of breath. Are you worthy of breathing? You know, do you stop breathing at 10 o'clock because you've had your fair share of breath and you can't have more because there's not enough oxygen on the planet? We don't think of it like that. And yet this goes back to that very, very primal, early priming as children, where we start putting our worth in that we can't breathe, that life is not a safe, like the world is not a safe place. It's not safe to breathe. I mean, just take the coronavirus, for example, right now. You know, this is a classic example of how we go back into these energetic addictions of worthiness, or that we can't take more than our fair share, or that there's not enough to go around, and all these other programs that we buy into that were never ours to begin with. You know, the coronavirus is something that is being fed on a lower vibrational frequency to hook into other programs that keep us tapped into the scarcity, or that there isn't enough. So I know I'm kind of rambling into different directions here, but I just kind of want to bring it back to that, you know, breath work. Breath is free. You know, nobody says you can't breathe. In fact, our body knows that without the breath, it dies. So on a very basic primal nervous system level, it's pretty hard. If you hold your breath, eventually you're going to take a breath.
Yeah.
Because your body, that innate survival mechanism is so strong that your body's doing everything it possibly can to keep you alive. So breath work is such a beautiful way. It doesn't cost anything to breathe, but we have to remember how to breathe in life, how to breathe out life, and know also in that in breathing in life, something dies to give us that breath, and in breathing out, we give life to something else. It's not that we relive it, it's that we are reborn with every breath. And I think breath work is one of the simplest and most beautiful ways that we can sort of get back into touch with our felt sense. Mm-hmm. You know, you build affect tolerance, which is really a really fancy way of saying that we build more space or more capacity to wake up to being with discomfort and anxiety and the things that aren't the way, you know, when we're saying, oh, things shouldn't be like this, whether that's physically or emotionally or different in some way, we're always trying to change it. That's why we hold our breath when we're waiting for something. Whether that's out of excitement or anticipation or out of terror. So we, through the breath, it's just a really simple way, not always easy, but it's a very simple way that you can start to be with your breath, be with your body kindly, compassionately, to notice what's underneath it. And this is the lower vibrational frequencies, you know, the density of thoughts, feelings, and emotions, all the judgments that we have against ourselves, where we're literally at war with our own body.
Yeah.
It's wanting us to be alive. You know, we can't create without a body. We can't be intimate without bodies. We can't have relationships without bodies. And in fact, it's the body that needs the touch. We're touch starved. We're living in a society right now, and I heard this on the news in the UK, which is where I am right now, where they were saying, gosh, you know, they're cancelling sporting events, and they've totally bought into, as a collective, the paranoia is so high, where people are afraid to touch each other, where they're actually cancelling events because they don't want to shake each other's hands. And I just look at it and I go, could we just stop the insanity of creating more of the separation, what I call the great separation sickness, that's creating more fear, more lack, more scarcity, more of this addiction to feeling that we're wrong. And can we just come back to the heart and touch each other? You know, touch our own bodies is a good place to start. and touch the breath of things.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And I think what you're sharing now, I think, is a good lead-in to speaking about energetic addictions. And I know people have questions. We're not going to take questions yet, but of course, if you're on the phone and you missed this earlier, then *2*2 to raise your hand, and you can ask Sarah Jane what your primary energetic addiction is, and Sarah Jane will tune in and let you know. And if you're on the web, then of course put your question in the webinar box. Make sure you put your name there in the webinar box as well, so we can associate that. Otherwise, you won't know who it is if we just there's no name, right? So we can't do readings that way. So speaking of primary energetic addictions and speaking about energetic addictions, let's talk about that, because we have all sorts of physical addictions that we're aware of, and many we suppress and deny, and we blame others for having them, and we work through them, whatever they might be. Talk to us about energetic addictions.
It's fascinating, and again, it comes back to really it's making things real sometimes, because I think what we create in the physical, literally the body follows the mind. So if you think about an energetic addiction as the identity of who you are, it's the discomfort, it's the chaos, and both of those are required right now if we're going to stop this, if we're going to kill the energetic addictions. Are you okay?
Could you hear that?
You're clearing something big time.
You're not supposed to hear that. I'm on mute. Goodness, you're not supposed to hear that. No one's meant to hear that. I had a tickle in my throat. I was drinking some water. I had my microphone on mute. So this is terrible. That means all the time when I'm sneezing, everyone can hear me.
I do, because this is just so beautiful, Ian, because you've just created that space where we can actually stop running away from the shoulda couldas, where we're running away from our own wilderness in our hearts. I always say we need to follow our body's natural impulse. And this is the thing, is that we're told culturally that it's not acceptable to sneeze or fart or burp in public, or pick our noses or do the things that are like literally our body telling us that there's something out of congruence. And I think it's so beautiful that, again, coming back to our hearts, if we're going to free ourselves of these energetic addictions, we have to be willing to get uncomfortable first to get comfortable with the unknown. And the only way we can do that is we've got to have compassion for ourselves. Because when we're compassionate, then we get the creativity, and then we get the freedom to be just me. This is me, warts and all, coughing because I have a tickle in my throat. There should be shame in any of that, because this is who we are, and we have been running away from our primal essence, right? Our true nature for so long, because we've been living lost in judgment. This is the weight of an unloved life. And we have to be embodied if we want to love.
This is the weight of an unloved life.
Mm.
Mm. We can't let that one go, Sarah Jane. That one, no. Bring that back. Bring that back for all of us. Yeah, that's got to come back. Bring that back into the space. That's beautiful. Talk to us about that again. Open it up.
Yeah.
Let's open it up as if it's a gift, and let's look inside of it.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. I mean, this is where we're losing ourselves. We're losing ourselves in the regret and the shame that follows, and in the weight of the judgment, because we're not loving ourselves as living human beings, not doings, but beings. And we have to be embodied if we want to love, Ian. So if we're not used to being in our bodies, the minute that we feel discomfort or pain or anxiety or restlessness, that's where we are living an unloved life. We're not loving ourselves. We're not being kind. We're not being patient. Again, this is what animals have shown me over and over again, is there's no judgment there. And if we could just stop doing that and love ourselves into being, we wouldn't have to dissociate. And that's the energetic addiction, is to the identity of who we think we have to be, which goes back to the primal need to not be thrown out of the tribe. You know, there has to be an ending to this if we're going to sort of birth our new identity. And this is where we are, in that numb inside place of feeling like we're nowhere and no thing, is we have to be comfortable with not being a thing so that we can get things done, you know, as the visionaries, as the builders. And I love that, because that is that natural movement between attuning with presence. This is living a loved life. This is living well so we can die well, kill off the old stories, kill off the things that are not energetically aligned to our already ascended selves. We're already ascended. Everything else is an energetic addiction to fit in, to not be judged. These are all what I call energetic addictions. So if you just sort of notice all the places where we go into, as I said, not enough time of not being where we think we need to be, of, there's so many simple ones. Doubt is one. Shame is one. Anywhere where you're addicted to people-pleasing, that's another one. All of those places are what keep us energetically addicted, which then brings our body into a place where our bodies have to be heavy to process all the places where we are still hooked into these viruses of what the shamans used to call watika, the virus of the mind. Mm. It's not who you are. It's the mind attacking the body with all the stories and the lies and the limitations. You know, you can be addicted to trauma and drama and emergencies. You know, you can be addicted to acting out to get attention. And yeah. I'm certainly guilty of all of them.
And the martyr, you can be addicted. You can be addicted to being martyr. You know, and the savior.
The victim. Mm-hmm. The victim. Yeah. All the archetypes. Yeah. The orphan, right? The abandoned orphan. Mm-hmm. The trickster energy. You spoke about it earlier. You know, being afraid to use anger as a potency to tell somebody that they have crossed an energetic line, right? They have encroached on your space, that there's a boundary, that no is a full sentence. You know, we're addicted to saying yes when we want to say no. And yet our bodies, I was having this conversation with a client the other day who, you know, she's gone through a terrible time, and this is very common where she's been in that, again, a soul agreement that's come back again, where she found her partner of, you know, many, many years cheating on her, and then got surprised as to why she broke out in a red hot angry rash. I've had this with clients who want to have babies, and yet their bodies never lie. And their bodies are saying, you're in a famine mode right now. You're in that shutdown or that sort of codependent behavior. And now is not a good time to procreate. These are all energetic addictions. And yet when you clear them out, they fall pregnant, or, you know, they have boundaries where they find love in the right places instead of hooking into that energetic addiction again of codependency. That's very, very common when you're empathic and highly sensitive, that you attract narcissistic people into your life. So when you can repair and reintegrate and activate that potential, you know, that's where you break free of all these addictions. You know, you act like it. That's the first thing, because you're choosing like it. The power of choice is there. Then you can start to live lighter. And that doesn't mean, and I really want people to get this, this is a lifestyle. You know, so many people are like, gosh, and I was one of them. I've done so much self-work. I have been working on my shadow. I have been working with this for, you know, 2-3 decades. you know, and why, you know, that question, again, is an energetic addiction. Why am I still stuck in the categoricals, in the limitation of this? Because we can never be free of judgment. It's what makes us human. And I think there's a place there, again, where we can learn from that, not turn it against us. And yet we are so addicted to the negativity bias to think terrible things are going to happen. So, you know, it's a big topic, and I know we're trying to squeeze as much of this into our conversation tonight. But I hope people are getting the awareness of what that is, because this is what I, you know, what I'm calling the light technology. It is the breath. It is the heartbeat where you call out. You know, you become your own truth teller to the dark masquerading as the light. That is you saying, I am a victim, as you were saying. This is where we have to use truth telling to look at where we're contaminating our own space and our own bodies. And in so doing, when we change that, we stop contaminating the collective, where all these viruses are taking physical form, instead of looking at, gosh, what is this virus here to teach me?
Yeah. I wanted to have you connect the dots for everyone, for me too, to really, mm-hmm. again, draw that correlation between the energetic addictions and the effect on the physical body, because you have a couple of times mentioned the physical body, things like weight, you know, excess mm-hmm. weight we carry. So can you share with us, Sarah Jane, some of the impacts that the energetic addictions might have on the physical body? And that might also include things like, you know, obviously emotions or mental well-being, not just mm-hmm. you know, physical. But would you mind sharing some of those with us?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I live for this because it's so powerful and so simple. But again, it's just like if the body follows the mind. So when we start looking at an energetic addiction like YouTube or Facebook or these programming implants like the coronavirus, when you see that as the doorway, these are all like portals or doorways to your emotional energy centers and systems, where you're saying, you know, there's not enough resources, there's not enough time. That's where we start creating these emotional psychic viruses. So it's in what we call the crystalline, it's in crystalline form. I often see this when I'm working with people in, and we're going to take some of those calls later, is when you're looking at energetic addictions, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily expressed in the physical form. It is the potential. This is what in epigenetics, we're talking about something that lies on top of the genome. So you have the potential as your own medicine, right? As your ascended self and your most powerful magician self to change anything that you're creating. But you have to be willing to see the addiction first as the way that you're expressing that your body will make you right. Your body's your greatest consciousness facilitator. So if you're saying, I'm going to get sick, or, you know, because cancer runs in my family, I'm going to get cancer, your body will make you right. So we have to really look at where we're hijacking our own creative energy. If you think of these energetic addictions as another way you could see it is like your defining behavior. You know, I can't help myself. You know, I've done something for so long. It's the habituated states that we go into that create the addiction, or an addiction is a habit. It's just out of control. It's compulsive. And it can be dangerous. So we're not just talking about, you know, addicts being people that drink too much or take drugs or pharmaceuticals, but that addictions are more, they're much more than that when you look at the energetics, because they have a very strong basis in energy trauma. So if you have, you know, we all have soul wounds. We all act out from protective and defensive patterns in our lives based on where we were wronged or where we felt like we were threatened or we weren't safe or it wasn't safe to express that we weren't safe when we were in bodies as children. So you have to also look at that addiction, these energetic addictions, they all have a hidden purpose.
Yeah.
They're a very strong response to the energy gap. Or you could call them emotional black holes. They all come from our energy trauma. So they act as protection or defensive patterns to keep us safe. So when that's hijacked, a lot of times there's distortion that shows up in different parts and pieces of our body. And again, I don't want to generalize. With my background in Chinese medicine, we correlate certain aspects when there's balance in the feeding cycle. That liver is stored in the anger is stored in the liver. That was funny.
Yeah.
I said it the wrong way around.
Yeah.
But it's when it goes out of balance, when there's no congruence. So, for example, a lot of addictions are often represented in the body's second energy center or the sexual chakra, which is where we create. Why do they get stuck there often? Because we've had some kind of trauma that has taken us out of safety, right? Our survival, our base chakra did not have roots that were secure or safe. So we didn't have an example of what safety, what it felt like to be safe in our bodies as children. So we have the source of creativity and validation and becoming our own self as children. And this is where a lot of it happens. Pre-7-year-olds, especially if you're coming back in for another experience in a physical realm, in a physical body, our little meat suit, if there's been energy trauma there before and you come in again, this is where you often attract the same experience because we're constantly seeking for approval. We're trying to fix something that wasn't completed in another lifetime, for example. And this is where we have these compulsive behaviors that show up, whether that's, you know, shopping or extreme sports or sex or workaholism, all the isms. And I think this is where we have to really, again, be honest and very truthful, which is why we need eyes on each other, because we can't see our own blind spots.
Yeah, yeah.
Of where we've been marginalized or rejected or abandoned or abused or, you know, even being ignored by people. Mm-hmm. Neglect is a trauma. And we count on our parents. We count on our primary caregivers to build our self-esteem. So if it isn't there, there's an emotional black hole which creates the energetic addiction, which we have to constantly then fall back on as a coping mechanism to make ourselves feel worthy of breath, of light, of living. And when there's no foundation, this is when we sort of engage in anything that will make us feel like that void is filled, even for a little while. And I think this is one of my biggest concerns and one of my biggest missions is to support young people, because never before have we had such an epidemic of obesity in our young people, because there is that void, you know, these emotional black holes, because they have parents that are not there for them emotionally or physically to teach them how to be good people, because they're trying to fill their own void, right? They're living an unlived life that you said was worthy of repeating.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because they're turning their creative mm-hmm. energies inward to fill their own aching need for emotional wholeness, because our parents were touched off, or because they never got that. And what we live what we learn. So if that's all you've known, it's very difficult to say lighten up. Don't take things so seriously. If that's been a basic survival need that's kept you alive, it's very difficult to break these energetic addictions. And why we need to come back to tribe, we need to come back to, you know, growing ourselves up, repeopling ourselves, reparenting ourselves from a village. we can't do this on our own.
Right. Right. Well, let's go to the phones, Sarah Jane. I'd love to talk about energetic addiction. So people are going to be asking you what their, I guess, primary or number one energetic addiction is. So if you're on the phone, *2 to raise your hand, *2 to raise your hand. And if you're on the webinar page, see, we have a lot of questions already, but put your name in as well as your question, and we'll get to as many as we can. And then before the show's over, of course, Sarah Jane is going to take us through a lovely meditation that's a guided heart and body sensing meditation. So I'll let Sarah Jane talk about that in just a little while and why that's so important. But for now, let's go to the phone. So let's start off on the phones, and let's start off with if you're from Downey, California, or if your phone's from Downey, California, and it's 4232, you are on live.
Wow, thanks for taking my call. This is Patty.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, I was just wondering what came through for me for that question that you're supposed to ask. I forgot it. You said in the beginning, but now I forgot what it was.
It's okay. Your higher self just asked it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So, Patty, for you, your primary energetic addiction looks like it's in your thyroid. And around this energetic addiction to mute yourself, to not speak your truth. So I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it does. It does.
In what's going on in your life. But it's just like there's a very strong pain energy center there that really has been coming from this place of trauma. It's an imprint of pain there around fear of abandonment. And it's totally, totally changeable. You have the power to use your beautiful voice to speak your truth, and we're counting on you to do that. So be brave.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. So thanks for calling in, sweet soul. Much love. Bye.
Thanks to you.
Okay, let's go to Wilmington, Delaware, and the last four digits of the phone number are 0242, and you're on live with Sarah Jane.
Oh my goodness. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
Hi,
Jane. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm really surprised I'm on, but thank you so much. This is such a powerful, powerful subject. And I could relate to everything that you were saying. So I'm curious about two things. I would love to know what my primary addiction is, but also I would like to know if you can be born into or bring in ancestral, perhaps, addictions into your lifetime. So something maybe that may have happened in past life that were brought in.
Well, thank you for asking. No, absolute sense. So thank you for asking, because, again, you know, with all of you showing up, I'm so grateful, again, for Ian to create this beautiful safe space, because I think safety is so important when we're starting to look at healing soul wounds. I think this is the best gift that we can give ourselves to free ourselves from karma and karmic cycles and soul groups and energy trauma. So absolutely we come in with ancestral or inherited energetic addictions. And those can express, as we know, in many ways, where there's a lot of intense discomfort, where we dissociate because our parents dissociated. And collectively, this is that survival mechanism that you're talking about, where we have no control, for example, of you know, things like climate collapse or wars, whether they're happening now or whether they've happened 8 or 9 or 10 generations back, or if it is your soul come back again. It takes an incredible amount of energy to do that. And for you, getting back to your primary energetic addiction, I feel that this is being held for you very much in your spleen, in your pancreas, and that you're you worry an incredible amount. So I sense a lot of chronic fatigue and anxiety in your life. And that there's a lot of judgment there, that isn't yours to carry. So again, you know, what I love about this work is you can totally cleanse and clear and reset your nervous mm-hmm. system to know that you don't have to carry what's yours to carry. You know, I always say you're the ancestors of the children that haven't been born yet, and you don't have to pass this on. It, you know, it stops with you when you get to claim your power. So I'm not sure if that makes sense to you, in the fact that you are predisposed to chronic fatigue, because you're it takes an incredible amount of energy to keep these programs running. And it is the psychic collective that you're. So thank you for doing it, but you're fired now, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's again, it's just a default setting. And I see this often, you know, I've with addictions, and I'm talking about real ones. I've had, you know, people that have been drug addicts or alcoholics, and they're like, I can't help myself. And a lot of times it's entity attachment. There's an imprint where that default setting with any kind of stress is leaving the body. So that body gets taken over, and it's like you're drinking for everybody in the bar. and in the same way, you know, that's that energetic addiction to leave the body or fix it or do it faster or be the people pleaser or be the one that everybody comes to, and yet you're emotionally depleted. So I would definitely look at, you know, looking at creating stronger boundaries for yourself and just calling your energy back into your body. Stick around. You might like this program that we're offering tonight.
I'm absolutely sticking around, and I can't wait for your meditation. And I just want to say thank you. Yes, that resonated 100%. And yes, I've always felt fatigued. So I never gave my name, which is Olivia. But thank you both, Ian. Thank you for creating this platform. Thank you, Sarah Jane. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank
Lots
you.
Of love, Olivia.
Blessings. Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you to the tribe. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Thank you. Thank you. I'd love to switch over to the web. So let's go to Linda in Ottawa. Linda, you heard a lot here, but I need to distill this down because I was guided to choose you here. So Linda from Ottawa, Ontario. Hello, Sarah Jane. Is this why my legs are hurting and feeling heavy like concrete and or lead or quicksand? What is my primary energetic addiction, and how can I slow down? So let's just go with that.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, this is so common. Is the feeling like literally that legs are in concrete and we're sort of dredging through quicksand. And again, I'm finding this is happening a lot with empaths that are trying to wake themselves so that they don't sort of float off into the energetics of soul and spirit. And this is how, when we sort of move into that place of processing heaviness, for her, it's in her digestive system.
Okay.
So detoxing that sort of emotional residue will help her to anchor in. And again, I think that we've got a lot of these detoxes that we're offering in the program, Ian. It would be a really good place for her to start to actually look at the systematics of moving a lot of the heavy metals and the EMFs out of her digestive system. It's just like she hasn't been able to digest life. And I'd love for her to call back in and let us know. Yeah, so the energetic addiction is a lot that it's a hard pill to swallow. That life is not safe to digest right now.
Okay, thank you. Lisa from Avon, what is my primary energetic addiction?
I'm picking up an emotional psychic virus for her that includes a lot of EMFs. And this is happening in the back of her brain. So I'm getting the left back lobe. So, gosh, this is triune brain. This is very, very old. This looks like a soul agreement that she made. that's holding on to some data points of again not being able to release some psychic attachment in her brain. So I don't know if she gets migraines. I've got like a really strong pain in my head right now. It feels like migraines, blurred vision, brain fog.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, some EMF clearing would help, especially with this new 5G that's coming in.
Yeah.
I think we all have to be really careful about our emotional and our energetic hygiene with some of the things that are coming in right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. This is Amanda from, I think it's either Whitstable. So, I don't always get the pronunciation right. I mean, we have global audience here, so I don't know where that is. I've never been there. Okay, Sarah Jane, what is my primary energetic addition? Thank you for your help in trying to find balance in my life. You are amazing.
Oh, I know, Mandy. Yeah, she's lovely. Mm. Okay, so I think she knows. So just to recheck in on that one. Yeah, so there's like this again, the energetic addiction for safety. And my question for her, again, it's like in the axilla, so under the armpits, lymphatics is coming up. And the energetic, it's a micro addiction here, but it's this place of worrying about the future. And this is one that I think we're all hooked into, is, you know, assuming that bad things are going to happen. That there's no hope for the planet, there's no hope for humanity. And again, I know this has ancestral cultural guilt addictions from the Jewish line, actually. So thank you for asking, because I think a lot of us are hooked into cultural shame and guilt programs.
Mm.
Thank you, Matt.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. Okay, this is Kirsty. K-J-E-R-S-T-I, Kirsty, from Oslo, in Norway. And she's asking, what is my primary addiction and how do I let go of it?
Mm. So for her, it's showing up in choosing comfort as a limitation. I know she comes from a cold country. Did she say she was in Oslo?
Yeah, Norway. Yep. Pretty cold
okay,
there right
Norway.
Now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is, again, it's anchored in to the gallbladder. So, again, an inability to move forward, feeling galled. So activating her potential to express anger in a good way because her comfort is holding her back. And I know that sounds weird, but that is what I call a micro energetic addiction, where we think we're comfortable, but we're not. And sometimes that comes in as a comfort level of not allowing ourselves to have more. So it's bringing up a lot of imbalance in her gallbladder.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go to Los Angeles, and this is going to be on the web again. Either Megan or Megan from LA. What is my primary energetic addiction or patch? Or patch? Hmm. Well, what is my primary energetic addiction? She used the word patch. So I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Yeah. So here we're going into the heart, the left ventricle of the heart. It's all about receiving. So breath work for her would be a really good place to start. Energetic addiction is armoring up, not being able to ask for help, not feeling safe enough to ask for help. So choice points and being willing to receive. Yeah, it just feels like she's had a lot of betrayal, a lot of distrust that's armored her heart up. So she's cut off from receiving. And the way that she's done that is by setting up an energetic addiction to being independent. And I'd love for these people to be able to give us some feedback, Ian, because it's always lovely to get that affirmation of whether that's how they feel.
Yeah, yeah. So if you received a reading, everyone, and you are able to, okay, here's Lisa. No headaches at all, but I did have them when I was 10 years old. So Lisa wrote in. Yeah, and anyone else, if you feel like writing in, if you've had a reading, we'll get back to some readings in a little while. And of course, we have that meditation. But I think I'd like to take this opportunity to have Sarah Jane share with us about what program she has brought for the Wisdom community. And so that's going to be her special offer. And before you do that, Sarah Jane, let me just share with everyone how they can follow along. So if you're on the webinar page, then click the orange special offer button that's underneath Sarah Jane's photograph. That's if you're on the webinar page, it'll take you right there. If you're not on the webinar page and you'd like to follow along, well, just go to WOTAshow, that's S-H-O-W, WOTAshow.com/Sarah, which is S-A-R-A-H, then there's a hyphen or a dash, and then Jane, J-A-N-E, and the number 9. So it's a little bit longer this time, but it's WOTAshow.com/Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, dash or hyphen Jane, J-A-N-E. And then the number 9, and of course, as you know by now, nothing is uppercase. Everything's higher self today. No, higher case, uppercase. Everything's lowercase, and you can follow along. We're just having a great time. Our higher selves are just, you know, all partying up there together, and yeah, we're down here trying to work things out, right? Higher selves, gang. It'll be, everything's going to be just fine. Just listen to Sarah. Okay, so we are going to listen to Sarah right now. So we've got a couple of options, actually, two options that Sarah has brought to the Wisdom community. So please tell us what your packages are all about.
I'd love to. And gosh, I've never actually offered this, and I truly mean this when I say this. It just felt that it had to come together in almost like this holy trinity of three programs that are very relatively new, that has become lighter. So I've combined breath, which we spoke about, as the first part of this program, because as we were talking about, the breath is the place where we can start to anchor in and feel safe in our bodies again. And it's simple. And it's easy, and it's beautiful, and it's very powerful. And what I've found in using breathwork in my own life is incredible things start to release from the body. You know, people talk about having issues holding in our tissues, that the body holds on to things that are unprocessed, whether that's grief, whether it's from this lifetime or another lifetime. The body eventually says no, and this is where we experience body breakdown or chronic disease, or we have a healing crisis. And breath just seemed to be a beautiful place to start to anchor into creating a lighter way of being, in clearing some of this collective sort of psychic contamination, where we're not thinking about ourselves, you know, we're not thinking for ourselves, and we're literally biochemically out of our minds. So the breath brings us down into the emotions. And this is a beautiful space as well, Ian. I know you've experienced some of it, that is growing. It's an organic library that is growing quite rapidly as we are evolving and growing. So even though there are, I think, 11 or 12 tracks included in this now, actually, there's 14, it says here. They're growing.
There you go. They grew just overnight.
I think between the time we started talking about offering this and the time that I got it to you, there was some new tracks added into it, because this is what's being required of the bodies right now to really process this heaviness. And the breath allows us to, you know, slow down so we can digest all this emotional residue and addictions. And the breath anchors us. It assists us in getting in touch with our felt senses to stay with the uncomfortable. And so the first part of the package, And of course, these are interchangeable. It's really about writing your own prescription. As you know, I'm here to help people to claim their own power and write their own personal prescription to be their own medicine. So the beautiful thing about this is as it grows, you grow with it. And these breath tracks can be used along with the other parts of the program. So we start really, really slow, just 1 minute more than yesterday. And so the tracks actually grow in length and duration. And we sort of end with a very potent one, which is probably the closest I've got to ayahuasca plant medicine in real strong, solid breath where you actually think your lungs are going to explode. If you've ever free dived, it's that feeling of thinking you're going to die as we die off of the old stuff. So those are there to use as you feel called to them, as you follow your body's natural impulse of what its level of tolerance is. You know, I always say go at the pace of your body, not your mind. So this really is a beautiful way to start to trust yourself again, trust your body, trust you know what your body needs. And with those breath tracks, there is another section, which are really the mental, emotional choice points that are going to come in as you use each of these, what I call detox and defrags. So we're working on that holy trinity of body, mind, and spirit, and all through the portal of the four chambers of the heart, which is what pumps our blood and our lymph and moves and balances our every body part and chakra system and meridian pathway. So these are 9 energetic addiction tracks that I designed to go with you on your journey back to healing, that are going to work on your physical, your mental, your emotional, and your psychic nervous system, because that is where the survival mechanism is, and that's where we need to systematically start to use these. And of course, it's easier on the body when we can run things on an energetic level as part of an integrative and functional approach. You know, I think a lot of the times we think just running clearings or silent tracks or just detoxing the liver physically is enough. And it has to be a very organic, integrative approach if we're going to get lasting change. So these are the mental emotional supports that you're going to use that are going to take you through. And these are designed in a way that don't ever put your body back into trauma. They don't overload your physical systems. Mm. But you're going to start, as we said, you know, we're all needing to detox on mental, emotional, spiritual, and psychic levels. And the best place, we have to start everything in the body. I think it was Socrates that said everything starts in the gut and ends in the gut. We need our physical vehicle to be healthy if we're going to do the work that we came here to do. So we have to get this cleared out. So these detox are going to do that. You know, we're going to go into, there's one, I think, that is, there's one for the colon. So the lady that called in that had stuff going on in her colon, you know, most of us have pounds and pounds of rotting fecal matter in our colon. We have overgrowth of yeast and fungus and parasites and toxins that build up, causing chaos in our body. And then on an emotional level, a lot of people are finding that it's difficult to digest life. You know, they're having problems. So this is going to take you through a physical detox of all the heavy metals and the EMFs and the chemicals. And in so doing, it's going to bring your inflammation down. So there's a track for inflammation that's going to change that. And once that's in place, then you will know, because your body will tell you when you're ready to move on to each of these. Then you're going to start getting your hormones back online. Because we know that when there's inflammation and there, you know, we're out of balance in our chakra systems and everything else, it's going to affect our metabolism, and menopause and hot flushes and periods are all energetic addictions. It affects our sex drive and the way that our bodies process sugars, and how well we handle stress. So always helping to optimize function. There's one that's going to attune and repair the brain, decalcify the pineal gland, get everything online, because we need to employ our brain to work for our body. So there's some wonderful tracks there that you can start. I always advise the people, listen to them consciously, mindfully, a couple of times. But then you can put them, for example, on a loop and run them low audible while you sleep. And they will run on your body until your body has taken what it needs of it. And then, of course, you have everything else that's going to back that up and support it in a holistic way. So that once you've sort of got into that place of rebooting and reorganizing the neural pathways and getting all the systems online, then there's this beautiful, robust Ending the Weight of Judgment program that has 11 training modules. So, you know, again, I always say to people, this isn't like you do it once and then it's over. This becomes part of your lifestyle, that you use these as your personal prescription. And as your body tells you that it needs things, because you're asking generative questions of your body. These are somatic, they're body-based technologies. So that you can literally doing your own psychic surgery. You're looking at ways to unburden, to lighten up. And, you know, the side effect of this is why I call it the Ending the Weight of Judgment. It's the no diet diet. This is not about restrictions. I always laugh when I say to people, your body hears diet and thinks you're going to kill it, because you're eliminating all its choice. So these are, again, it's engaging the mind. There's training modules in there from some live classes that I did, that people have had great change with. And the side effect of it is that you may lose extra weight if you're carrying that. I've had people that are have had addictions, like anorexia, like bulimia, that have cleared using these tracks, those energetic addictions. They've got to the root cause of what caused them to feel unsafe in their bodies and go to war with their bodies, that no longer have that running their lives. And this is the beauty of combining all of this, is I really wanted it to be a life works for people, that they get the results and then they can optimize and maintain them as and when they need to. Because we never stop the learning, we never stop the upgrades, and the bodies are calling for it right now. They really are. They're calling us to do this work. So it's robust and it's beautiful. And the first thing when you look at it, you might go, oh my gosh, it's too much, and when am I going to find the time to do this? But this is the beauty of compassionate inquiry, of asking your body, if I choose this, will it be supportive? And if you get a yes, to lean into that and say yes and commit to using the programs, because this is how we are going to deprogram ourselves out of all this judgment and rehumanize ourselves in a good way from all these sort of lower vibrational densities and addictions that we're all unhooking ourselves from. So you can continue to use this. And every time you do, I have no doubt that you'll find something else that lights up your body and makes sense. So again, this is very much about creating your own prescription out of what is being offered here.
Well, the beauty of this as well. Yeah, thank you, Sarah Jane, for sharing that. And of course, we're still going to get to the private work with you session. But I just want to also mention to everyone that the beauty of this, and this is what I do, by the way, is when I When I sign up for a program, what I do is I will download the MP3s and then I'll put them on my phone. And I love that because then they're on my phone. Of course, I've got an iPhone and I've got this notes section on my iPhone, and I'll put like Sarah Jane's program. And then I'll drag the little MP3s into my notes section, so they actually go with me everywhere. So, you know, if I'm laying in bed and I've got my little speaker there, and I get a hit to, you know, do one of these activations, it's right there on my phone, and it's connected to my speaker. So that's something that I love to do. I love to have it on my phone, on my portable device, so it's in my pocket, or maybe if I'm out and about, I'll put my little earphones in, and I'll listen to something, you know, as opposed to leaving it on your computer. Now, if you've got a smartphone, you can do that. But if you don't, it might be more difficult. But I'm just sharing that with everyone because I find that very, very helpful, especially when your higher self is saying, hey, now's the time.
Yeah.
Ending the weight of judgment. Now's the time to actually listen to that. So that's just, you know, something that I do. But, beautiful, beautiful. And then, Sarah Jane, we are going to get to more readings, plus there's a meditation. So, but before we do that, I wanted to make sure that everyone got a chance to hear what your private session is all about. If you wouldn't mind telling everyone what that's about. Sarah Jane? Sarah Jane, did you mute yourself?
Oh, I did. Hi.
Hi, welcome. At least your mute button's working. What's going on?
Listening to what you were saying and thinking, gosh, yeah, this is how we use technology in a good way to work for us rather than be addicted to the technology. And that, you know, this is like everything. It's about using it in a good way to work with the whole of you, body, mind, spirit. And I think what I love about, again, offering such a robust package like this, it's not that you need to, you know, there's no expiry date on this. And along with it, you're also going to get access into my Facebook group. It's a closed group called Healthy Body, Healthy Mind. And this is where we co-regulate together. You know, this is about finding your tribe, finding a sense of belonging, where you're seen and you're validated, and again we start to heal that place of being traumatized in relationship and lighten up because we start to be seen and have a sense of belonging again. So we have that, Ian, as well, just with the package A, and also a live group webinar. And the reason why I added that in is because I often have so many questions coming in the Facebook group. And even though I'm there to give personal support, through the feedback from the people that are actively committed to using and working these programs, we get to grow and evolve to a higher level of lightness together. So there's going to be another live group webinar, where I'm going to be there answering people's questions and going deeper into, you know, what's coming up as required for all the people that actually choose that. So that's package A. And of course, there's always the people that are, have the energetic addiction that I know really, really well, you know, the overachievers, the wanting more. That, so private sessions just take it to a whole nother level and again, we can accelerate, you know, where you are, what's not working, what you're needing to change, and get you there a lot quicker, because we're going to get to that root cause of everything that's keeping you heavy or numbed out in that private session. And you probably know, if you have worked with me before, I'm very generous with my time. So again, if you're in the middle of having a huge breakthrough, 60 minutes into the call, we carry on until you feel complete. So, you know, a lot can happen in 60 minutes, and that's your time to really get free of any of this, any of your sort of primary woundings, and to clear out your energetic attachments and get to the root cause of what's causing your trauma. So I have to always add that into these offerings, because I know too that, you know, we need accountability. It's easy to say yes to programs that are self-paced, and I love that part of it, that you can go revisit it. But this is just a deeper level of accountability to give you some of my fierce medicine and love you along the way to make sure that you use this to your advantage. So that's why I've included the private Accelerate Healing session in the offering for people that really want to fast track themselves.
Beautiful. Get a dose of Sarah Jane's fierce medicine while being loved along the way.
Yeah.
I sense that there is a lot of transformation in a lot of people's future. You know, just listening to the way you speak about how you work with people, really, really get a sense that coupled with the transformation, there's a lot of authenticity, integrity, and really care and compassion that goes into your sessions. The fact that you, when you hit the 60-minute mark, you've actually put down here for everyone to read that the session actually can go 90 minutes, which means that, it's really lovely to see that, you know, when the work is being done, you're committed to being a conduit of the divine, being a vessel of your gifts, right? These gifts are, divine has bestowed these beautiful gifts, and we've heard you do readings, so we know that you're highly intuitive, and you also have a tremendous background in medicine, Chinese medicine as well. So you know, there's a medical intuitive aspect to you as well, but just the fact that you hold people in such loving arms is really, really special. So thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, I think at the end of the day, what matters to me is that people get results, because each and every one of us have a gift and our own special way that we came here to give back to the world. And we can't do that if we're stuck in these lower vibrational frequencies and hiding. You know, I think fear of not being seen is a big energetic addiction that many, many empaths and healers have. Is the fear of being seen, because it wasn't safe in this lifetime or as a child to be seen. So, you know, I want people to get results, and I'm willing to go wherever we need to go in order to do that. So,
well, beautiful. Thank you. Lovely offer. Very, very grateful that you prepared that. I know you put a lot of work into putting that together. It's never been offered before, so this is this is the first time. So we're excited to experience your work on a much deeper level. I'd also like to, before we do the meditation, I know this has been a fairly long call. We've had a wonderful time, and this information is needing to come through. So I'm not putting structure to the end, but I do want to go to the phones. There's a couple of people who I know I need to reach out to here and bring online. One of them is from Matthews, North Carolina, on the web. So you put your name in as is it Ewanna, Ewanna, from North Carolina. So you're on your computer dialing in. So welcome, you're live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking
me.
Hello, Sarah Jane.
Hi, darling. Hi.
Yeah, I would really appreciate enough to hear about my energetic addiction, because I have been stuck for a while, and I think there is something cycling that keep occurring. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me just give you a quick body scan. So what I'm picking up with you is a lot of pain in your lower back. Kidney adrenal function is not perhaps as strong as you'd like it to be. And there is a persecution line running on that. So ancestrally, I don't know if that resonates with you, but ancestral persecution, fear of being found out, running on your lines, and it's affecting your kidney adrenal.
Okay. Is that resonating with you?
It does. Is anything I can do about that?
Well, you might want to consider taking a look at the program. You know, again, it's just like this has to be unpacked in a way that's congruent and honoring of your body and where you are right now, because you don't want to re-traumatize yourself and you don't need to. So you may want to look at just, you know, going into some of the breath work and some of the things that are offered in the package, other than working with me privately, which is a whole another level of commitment. The package would probably be a really good fit for you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, Wana, much
my
love.
Pleasure.
Thanks for calling in. Blessings to you. Okay.
Bye.
All right, we're going to go to Edmonton, Alberta, on the phone, 9437 on the last four digits of your phone number, and you're live with Sarah Jane.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Sarah Jane, Ian. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Good. Everything that was written and stated so far resonates so much. I'm one of those people who feel that I'm just not feeling mm-hmm. anything right now. What mm-hmm. is my energetic addiction?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. As you started speaking, I picked that up straight away. A lot of unresolved grief in your lungs. Lung, large intestine. I don't know. Do you have any kind of irregularities in digestion, in your bowels, or respiratory going on right now?
Not in my bowels. Respiratory, possibly.
Okay. Just some unexpressed grief. Something that you haven't processed. That you may want to look at there. And remember, too, all I pick up is
what
I
see
in
the now.
Yeah,
but how do you bring that out? Like, I understand that I've stuffed it, and I'm willing to feel, I just don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to do the work in that, and I'm trying to bring it out. I just don't know how.
I know, and we can't always do it on our own. So thank you for your vulnerability in saying that, because I think that's the bit, one of the energetic addictions is that we don't know how, and because we think we don't know how or that we have to do it on ourselves, there's something there. So my question to you is why, and this may sound blunt, so just know I say this with love, but why would that be so traumatic for you? I mean, can you put it's, into words why you don't
well,
know?
Well, it's just my dad was murdered.
Mm.
And I think at that moment that it, like, clicked in that I knew what had happened. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just shut down. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, after that, there's other traumas that happened, you know.
Yeah.
But,
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
And I just, maybe because it's like bang, 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 right? Like my dad murdered my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I got rid of my narcissistic husband and all the betrayal there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm just trying to put one foot in front of the other. But yet
mm-hmm.
I know that I want to feel again. I want to let it go. I want to let it out. I just don't know how to do that.
Yeah. You open your arms, you receive, and you say thank you and having it. And just by you showing up here today, I just want to thank you for the courage to know that you don't have to know how. This is part of the numbing out, besides the fact that you had to dissociate. I mean, this is a huge trauma to see your father murdered. You know, that is not anything that anyone should have to go through. And of course, you know, that sort of what I call a primary data point, where you created the belief that your life, or life is impermanent, that it's not safe to love because the people that you love leave. All of that comes into it, and this is what we go into in the programs, or if you work with me privately. You know, this needs to be
I know
very
I have
loving
to deal
very,
with it.
Very, yeah, and again, it's like, what if you don't? What if
I'll
this is not a, you
get
know,
very
is,
sick
yeah.
later on in life, and I don't
yeah.
want to do that.
But what if it, yeah, but I just say be kind to yourself, because this isn't about dealing. You know, dealing is another word that we use for coping, and I want to get you out of coping. We need to get you out of the place where you created that original incident of what's affecting your energy center right now in holding this all in your lungs and your, you know, the grief in your lungs and your large intestine.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you can do on your own. So, you know, breathe, knowing you're safe, stay with us for the meditation that might give you a sense of perhaps feeling your body for the first time in a long time, in the process.
Thank you very
and then,
much. Thank
and then
you.
See what your next step is. Yeah, you know, there you can't rush grief either. But yeah, lovingly, be kind. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweet soul. Thanks for being here. Much love to you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Blessings. Well, Sarah Jane, let's have you take us through that process. Take everyone through the guided meditation, the guided heart and body sensing meditation. Just share with us what it is and why it's important. And then I'm just going to let you go right into that. So that you just stay in that groove.
Yeah, and I think it's a beautiful way to just end this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so humbled to hear the stories of courage that so many incredible love warriors that have spoken up for the whole tonight. You know, to witness your loved ones be murdered, to have suffered terrible things. Is the way back to the heart, you know, to not have to know, and to come back into the body, to be able to just stay in that heart space and feel maybe a little bit more than you did before this call is all we're asking for here. So this is just a lovely, gentle taste of what is available in the program to come back to your body. And just love yourself. So I just invite you to just come into stillness, to just take a moment, and you might want to close your eyes if it's safe for you to do so. As this is a sensing exercise, you may want to hold yourself. I like to put one hand under one of my armpits, and put the other hand on your shoulder, like a beautiful, safe, gentle hug. And just get a sense as you attend to your body, as you settle down right now, to what wants to be let go and release just a little or a lot. There's no amount other than what is the correct dose for you right now. So just let yourself feel the movement of your whole body breathing. The rise and the fall of your chest if you have your hand on your heart. Let your shoulders perhaps relax a little bit. And just give whatever part is aching or tingling or vibrating, give it the attention from the inside out. And you may feel your
your feet burning on the floor. Maybe they feel cold, but feel your feet on the floor. Feel the softness of your hands. Notice if they're tingling, or pulsing, or vibrating. Notice your aliveness in that area of your heart space that is here. And take a few longer inhales, perhaps a deeper breath. And just settle in, giving gratitude for the breath, for your body that is your essence. And just go with whatever your direct experience is. If your mind is busy, let it belong there. And just notice a little deeper, perhaps, a little more giving. Feel the weight of your body being held by the chair that you're sitting on, the bed that you may be lying on. And give yourself permission to just relax. Just a little more. Breathe a little more deeply. Feel your body held by the chair, or your feet touching the floor and connecting through the floor to the ground, to the earth, to the great molten lava core. Find your belonging here. And just let yourself be physically held, physically supported, noticing if there's some efforting to hold up or hold in. Noticing the breath on the inhale or the exhale. And for most of us, you may just feel some of that subtly, at least. A thawing out, perhaps. Just giving a little more if there's tension. And I just invite you to relax just a little bit more. Letting yourself be held by your soul, vibrational soul, by a big soul, and also by your awareness of just being aware. Because we can't experience anything without awareness, without knowing. And so your whole experience, your sensations, your thoughts, your feelings are also being held in awareness. And this is like I'm infinitely, spaciously holding, and it's also light, luminosity. And there's a quality of light right here to this inner knowing. So you're also being held by an in divine source light, your field of light. And there's a deeply loving aspect to this awareness, deeply heartfelt quality to this awareness that's also holding you. And it's like being bathed in warm, loving light. The light of awareness, the light in you that recognizes the light in me. And you are this light of awareness. And you are this knowing that you are this, which holds everything. So notice the impact of your body, sensing, breathing, perhaps leaving, and call yourself back, the being, into the body, feeling the sense of presence all around you, as you, through you, just feeling the impact of your body and your mind on your beating heart. So we're attuning with this presence. Notice the loving, light-filled clarity that is you, that is spacious, expanded, radiance, lighter. And now I want you to notice if there are any aspects of your experience. As you have listened, let me guide you. If there are any actions or any sensations, any feelings that actually want to be liberated. And you can just ask your mind that this is not a question for it. This is not about looking for a problem or trying to fix anything. Ask your mind to be the quiet, compassionate, silent witness of this body sensing. And that it's actually being available for whatever your experience in your body, safely embodied, is right now. That wants to be welcomed in and liberated. And you may feel this somatically in your body. You may feel it emotionally. There may be images of certain behaviors that have been difficult for you. It'll be different for each and every one of you. And it may be some combination of thoughts and feelings. If there is an image, let it belong. Welcome it. Bring it down with the breath into the diaphragm, which is like a high halfway house for your emotions. And whatever this experience is, without an agenda to change it or fix it, remind your nervous system, remind your heart, nothing to fix, nothing to hide, nothing to prove, nothing to do. Simply experiencing what it's like to welcome your conditioned experience, your thoughts, your feelings, your judgments, your projections into this loving space. Noticing your breath, feeling your body lighter, just observing and thinking and breathing, whatever is wanting to be liberated, whatever is going to be seen, whatever is wanting to be felt, whatever is wanting to be recognized or understood, just allow it to come forward, to belong. And it may be enough to continue sitting with it in this way, or there may be an inquiry. So now ask for your soul to activate all the data entry points. You don't need to know what that means or what it is. Just trust that your ascended self, the light in you that has always been there, knows what to do. In the space where your mind, the virus of the mind, the watiko, no longer controls you, but you, the all-powerful, already ascended, begin to operate the controlling center of your mind with compassion and love for the version of you that belongs trapped for now in these energetic densities. Welcome them, thank them. And now I'm asking you to create a new choice point, just by willing it or saying yes, to clear and cleanse and transmute all the thoughts and feelings and emotions, energetic addictions, psychic viruses, including that collective psychic contamination, where you have been out of your mind and out of your body. Anywhere there's biochemical disturbances or disruptions, know that they are resetting now. And just bring your attention back to notice if there is a particular sensation or experience now that you have claimed that power, that light in you. What is asking for your attention to be known better? And you can simply ask yourself, what's in the very center of this? And wait for your body's feedback. And if there's nothing, ask, what am I unwilling to feel? And let it belong there for now. And if there's a somatic contraction, a physical discomfort in the very center of this, notice it. Nothing to do here, but simply be intimate with this experience. And if there's an energetic addiction that comes to mind, a problematic behavior or challenge, a coping, a dealing with that you have found yourself in, that comes to mind, you may want to ask yourself, what is it that I really want? Or what is it that I'm really wanting of myself, of my body? And you can drop into these questions, allow those questions to drop into your body and let them go. They're all innocent. And remember, you're not asking your mind to fix or change this. Just bring your physical body to listen and feel and sense your holographic destiny as your ascended self. Invite your molecules, your cells, to slow down as you calibrate up this holographic grid of creation beyond the mind. Give it over to your intuition, to your soul. And you may want to ask if there's anything else that wants to be welcomed in now. Is there anything else that wants to be liberated or revealed or restructured or reorganized into light and truth And we'll just take another minute. Notice what arises. Notice what wants to come to your attention. Take your time. And if you're in the middle of a kind of deep exploration, I invite you to stay with it in the remaining minutes that we have, or come back to this again. I know that this is an inquiry that you can also continue, of course, outside of now. Remember, we're not looking for perfection here. We all have a shadow and conscious aspect of ourselves. And you know, of course, there are incongruities. And kind of as a final note, there always will be. There always will be. And this is not about becoming a perfect human being. This is about being in your body, free of conditioning or judgment. It's not going to happen. This is life style. That what's beautiful is it's an unfolding process, and this awakening process, this process of realization, is very open-ended. So invite your body, invite your being to stay in the body as you continue to reset, refine, deepen, enliven, and come more into attunement with who you really are and with everybody else. And remember that whenever a reaction, an energetic addiction arises, it is your teacher. And every situation, every challenge is inviting you to be more present, more intimate, more awake, to be here now, lighter, as the light you are. And so it is.
Thank you. Wow, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. What a lovely way to bring this to a close. Thank you so much, Sarah Jane, for being here. You've been delightful. It's been wonderful having you here on the show. Yeah, so beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, everyone, time together today has drawn to an end. Just this time on the physical plane, on this call. So thank you, sweet souls, for being here. Much love to you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you again, Sarah Jane. It's been so beautiful to have you on the show. We thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth and Father Sun, all the beautiful, divine, beloved, ancient ones, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service for being with us and helping us really to open our hearts to integrate the words, the vibrations that have been transmitted on the show today. Thanks to you all. Much love to you all. Okay. Bye now. Namaste.